Hey, it's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later, we'll find out why a pound of ground beef costs more than ever these days and what it means for consumers.
First, we're going to fact check something Governor Walker has been saying as he's traveled around the country in the run-up to his likely presidential bid. Here he is speaking about the Act 10 protests at the Iowa Freedom Summit in January.
You know, you all know about the protests. I mean, at one point, there were 100,000 or more protesters in and around our state capitol. They were banging on the drums. They were blowing the horns. They had signs and banners. I guess, in a way, I almost have to apologize because the Occupy movement started in Madison, Wisconsin 4 years ago and then went to Wall Street. So my apologies for that.
Governor Walker, they're suggesting that the Occupy movement, which got its name from the Occupy Wall Street protests in Manhattan's Zuccotti Park and spread to cities all over the country and the world, actually started in Wisconsin at the Capitol during the 2011 Act 10 protests.
Here with us now to talk about the history of the Occupy movement and what connection it might have to Wisconsin is David Meyer, professor of sociology and political science at the University of California, Irvine. He's the author of a number of books on social movements and protests. David, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be with you.
So let's follow that thread. Did the Occupy movement, in effect, start here in Madison?
No, but that's okay. Certainly activists in New York were paying attention to what was happening in Madison, and they took some inspiration from the people piling out into the streets, but they were also paying attention to the indignados in Spain. They were also paying attention to the Arab Spring. They talked about Tahrir Square much more than they talked about Madison. And boy, you know, in Tahrir Square, the activists toppled the government, which didn't really turn out that way in Madison. So I can understand why they took more inspiration from what was going on in Egypt. So, no, but people were paying attention to Madison for sure.
Is this often how protests work, especially in this day and age where you can follow, if you're in one protest movement, you can follow another one almost in real time, that there's this kind of inspiration and borrowing back and forth?
It's an amazing thing, and it used to be that you were dependent upon the mass media to get your message out. But as you know, people all around the world were watching Occupy Wall Street and even Madison on live streams on their computers. I had one student who was watching 20 images at the same time, 20 videos at the same time. Amazing that he was able to do anything else.
What were some of the tactical differences and similarities between what we saw in Wisconsin and what came later on in the Occupy movement?
Well, what happened in Wisconsin was largely about a fight against Governor Walker's attempt to take collective bargaining rights away from organized labor, his successful attempt to do so. And labor, the teachers' unions and other unions, were at the lead of what was happening in Madison in particular. And then other people joined in on that. In New York, there was some labor involved, but it was a much, much broader claim about inequality generally and political and economic inequality. And I think the message in Madison was narrower and much clearer, and it was definitely anti-Walker, but it was about collective bargaining and preserving labor rights in Spain. In New York City, it was about human services, it was about inequality, and it was sometimes diffuse and hard to make sense of what was going on.
There was criticism of Occupy and those other global movements you mentioned for being too diffuse, for people not really being able to get a handle on what people were talking about. But is that something that maybe gives a movement more staying power, allows it to grow and change with the times?
Well, this is the problem with democracy. If you believe that people should be making decisions about things that affect their lives, Occupy was very much committed to that, and they had a set of democratic processes that let everyone have their say. But from outside, it was hard for people who didn't want to make sense of it to make sense of it, to know what was most important. And, you know, there was, in honesty, some incoherence to it in that, you know, there were Ron Paul and the Fed supporters at Occupy Wall Street, too, who, you know, were not getting broad agreement from the other occupiers, but that was certainly a claim that they were making. So it's complicated and difficult. It's easier to send a message if everybody agrees on the same message. it's harder to stay engaged over the long haul, and it's harder to gather lots of people when the message is too narrow and people don't feel like they're making the decisions about things that affect their lives.
Talking to David Meyer from the University of California, Irvine. He's an expert on protests and social movements, talking about the extent to which the Occupy movement got its inspiration or not from protests here in Madison in 2011. Governor Walker on the campaign trail has said, hey, I had to deal as a governor with the original Occupy movement. So why would Governor Walker want, do you think, to make this connection, this narrative that Occupy had its first manifestation here in Wisconsin?
Well, Governor Walker is faced with the task of promoting what he's done in Wisconsin to the very conservative voters in Republican primaries in pursuit of his presidential ambitions. That means he has to have a record of success, and he certainly had a record of success in making life miserable for labor, but he has an interest in making that bigger and dealing with more national issues than it does to us on the face. So if instead of beating back local labor, he was actually responsible for fighting against a broad-based movement of inequality, well, that plays further in the Republican primary than just the anti-labor stuff. I mean, didn't Governor Walker also say that he's prepared for foreign policy and ISIS because he'd crushed labor? You know, he'd fought those teachers in Madison as well. I mean, this his major achievement is an anti-labor achievement, so he's trying to make that into as much as he possibly can for his conservative Republican primary voter audience.
So turning toward Occupy a little more closely now, as compared to what happened here in Madison, how did the Occupy movement first start in Zuccotti Park and then grow from there?
There are local activists in New York who were campaigning against Mayor Bloomberg and budget cuts and human service cuts that had been trying to foster a campaign. And they'd actually set an occupation in front of City Hall months before Occupy, and it had lasted for several days. People slept out. There'd been demonstrations in front of the mayor's house and Gracie Mansion. And then in the beginning of the summer, there was a call from Adbusters with that beautiful poster of the ballerina on top of the bull. It said, Occupy September 17th, Occupy Wall Street. And activists were a little skeptical, but they said, why don't we try it? And they staged what became the first demonstration in Zuccotti Park, and they slept out. And because they were able to stay, and because there was not another game in town, it was able to spread. And critical in all of this were activists in other cities picked up on the Occupy idea. And there was a huge, what we'd call a social control error, when New York City police arrested 754 people demonstrating on the Brooklyn Bridge, and that got national attention. So about 2 weeks after the occupation in Zuccotti Park started, it got much bigger as all kinds of activists poured into Zuccotti Park and poured into public spaces all over the United States. I'm sorry to drone on about this, but it's important to understand also that the occupations all over the country were a little bit different depending upon who was organized and who was leading it. In Salt Lake City, there was a huge focus on environmental issues. In Minnesota, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, there was a lot of focus on housing as an issue. So the occupations were all about political and economic inequality, but they took on a lot of local color.
Now, the protests in Wisconsin ended. There doesn't seem to be an overt movement following up on those. Occupy, you don't see in the news anyway. You don't see those occupations. Is there a continuing role, though, for these movements in politics today?
Well, nobody predicted that Occupy was going to take off when it did. So I'm not going to tell you that something like that won't emerge again. Occupy spilled out into all kinds of other causes. And if you, like, get online and start searching Occupy, you'll find Occupy student debt, Occupy foreclosure, Occupy Keystone, Occupy Hurricane Sandy, all kinds of other campaigns. It's harder, however, to see an overarching idea unifying all these campaigns. And, again, that's a problem with or the challenge that Occupy was dead set against being co-opted and letting some national organization set direction for all these local campaigns. So you got something that was hyper-democratic, but awfully hard to track and awfully hard to, you know, be strategic about.
So did it have a political effect, even if the movement itself isn't up and running? Did it sway political views, inequality messages that we've heard even from the president?
Well, one of the amazing things that happened is the discourse really, really did change about 2 months into Occupy. And it started with mainstream politicians picking up the rhetoric of the occupiers. So the idea, you know, some of it was just like joking, oh, I'm going to occupy this salad bar. But more seriously, you saw people talking about political and economic inequality and real economic opportunity in a much bigger way. You saw members of Congress take up these issues and see what kind of mileage they could get out of it. And President Obama, who had spent the years since the Tea Party election of 2010 just talking about the deficit and talking about the deficit and talking about spending, suddenly started talking about political and economic inequality. And in effect, that seeded the ground for this, you know, broad spectrum of attention that Thomas Piketty got when he published his book. So they reestablished inequality as an important issue in American politics. In terms of concrete policy gains, however, we're waiting.
Now, between Wisconsin, Occupy, Arab Spring, Ukraine, there were lots of protests for a while. Have we seen the end of a phase, of an era of protest globally?
God, I hope not. I mean, where's my career then? No, I mean, there's always new stuff, and everybody who predicts the end of an era historically has been wrong. But what we can't really predict is what are the issues that are going to be taken up and how is it going to relate to the policy process. What I've been watching and seen a lot of action on in both mainstream politics and at the grassroots is concern about student debt and concern about immigration. We've also seen, amazingly, and we shouldn't take this for granted, the last 20 years on gay and lesbian rights have been phenomenal in terms of the scope and pace of political change. You know, I was thinking about those local pizza places in Madison that got a windfall during the Madison occupation, where people all over the United States who were sympathetic with the protesters were buying pizzas for them. And then pizza was again in the news in Indiana when conservatives were raising money for this one pizza place that refused to cater a gay wedding. You know, my daughter said, pizza at a wedding? Be serious.
David, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
That's David Meyer, professor of sociology and political science at the University of California, Irvine, talking about the history of the Occupy movement in light of Governor Walker's suggestion that began in Wisconsin during the Act 10 protests.